Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, the Advent season is upon us. Advent simply means arrival, appearance, or to come. Their Advent is a season within the church year where the church eagerly anticipates the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the last day. Advent is a joyous day for the body of Christ because God will return and raise the living, the dead to life again and reunite all those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ in heaven forever. Advent is surely a season of looking forward, but there's more to Advent than just that. Advent is also a season that lives in the present. Because it is true that Jesus Christ comes to us today. Whether that is through the word that is proclaimed to you or the word that you read, there Jesus Christ is. Where the water is poured and the words are spoken in holy baptism, there Christ is. And where his body and blood is given in the sacrament of the altar, you are sure to find Jesus Christ there. Advent is surely a time of the year where the church looks forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it's a time of the church year where we look at Jesus right now. But Advent is more than that too. See, Advent is a fact of history. The truth be told that Jesus already come, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger in Bethlehem. And our fancy theological word for that is the word incarnation. An incarnation simply means making into flesh or taking on flesh. Christianity uses the word incarnation that Jesus Christ was incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary. In other words, wrapped there in human flesh. Without Jesus Christ in the flesh, your faith has no substance. Without Jesus Christ in the flesh, there is nothing good that comes from within the Christian church. There are no sacraments. Christ cannot be present there. There is no death for the sins of sinners. There is no resurrection to eternal life. And surely there is no heaven for you and I who are poor, deadly sinners if not for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So basically, without Jesus' incarnation, our faith is absolutely and utterly pointless. Without the incarnation, the prophet Isaiah, the prayer he prayed tonight I read just a few moments ago, would be just a little bit frightening. Think about it. He says these words, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." He's praying that God would come to earth. I don't know about you, but from a sinner's perspective, this is completely and utterly insane. Because God coming to earth, God comes to earth for one reason. When sinners are involved, it's for condemnation and wrath. Is that what Isaiah is praying for? Oh, rend the heavens and come down that you may beat me with an inch. No, beat me, beat the life completely out of me, O Lord. It seems utterly foolish. And one might say it even is suicidal. But listen again to the prayer of Isaiah. He describes the very nature of God. He uses words like that God shakes the mountains and he's a consuming fire and the nations tremble in the presence of God. God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. And he goes on to say, he meets him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember him in his ways. So God joyfully meets those who are righteous, those who are not sinners, those who are perfect and righteous. So therefore, we turn to the rest of Isaiah and begin to read his litany about himself, which is reflective of you and me. It's just a little bit terrifying. He says, "Behold, you are angry and we sinned." There's a confession. "In our sins, we have been a long time. Well, that's true. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment, and we all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities." Isaiah doesn't sound very optimistic, does he? He basically stands before God and says, I'm guilty on all charges. You can execute me now. But isn't it true for all of us as we stand before God? Is there any shred of righteousness I can claim as my own to stand before God and say, I am holy and righteous. Don't smite me. Well, we're all unrighteous. All of our good works are like polluted garments, worse than any smog or toxic waste that you could ever think of. But given that the nature of God and the nature of man, our sin should make us into a target of God's wrath every single time. And the prayer that he should rent the heavens and come down seems utterly insane. Why would God come down amongst unholy people? Why would God reveal his presence in the midst of those who do not fear him and love and trust him above all things? Why would God do it? It seems as if inviting him down is just inviting trouble. And without hesitation, I'd say, you know what? We should keep God as far away from us as we can because of who we are according to our sin. But without the incarnations, Isaiah's prayer is not only insane, it's also incredibly arrogant. Because it refers to God as his Father. And how is that possible? How is it possible that God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, could be the father of sinful human beings? After all, doesn't God hate sin? Doesn't God look upon sin as detestable and cannot even have it in his presence? But we live in a world that would try to convince us that the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man is something that is automatic. After all, God is a God of love, so of course he's my father. The world insists that it makes no difference how I live, who I worship, or how I behave. It doesn't matter. All roads lead to the same place, and that's to heaven. If you believe that, I challenge you to go home and look at your headlines on your mobile device, on your television, newspaper, wherever you want to look. We as sinful human beings cannot get along. We kill each other. We torture one another. We terrorize one another. We steal from one another. We are sinful and utterly detestable human beings. We can't get along with one another. How do you would ever expect that a loving Heavenly Father would have anything to do with us? It seems as if we are full of self-deceit, and it's kind of dangerous if you ask me. But the only safe way for us to have any interaction with God the Father Almighty is for him to come to us in the incarnation. Isn't it amazing? That's exactly what God did. He sent his Son into the world. But he did it kind of like on the low, in the stealth mode. He didn't like raise the banners and flop the flags. Oh, there's that star in the sky. But only a few people knew what that meant. And even after the birth of Jesus Christ, he was wrapped in human flesh and placed in the tomb. There Jesus, the very Son of God, was a microscopic carbon-based cell in the womb of a virgin. Think of it. God, the creator of the earth, comes into the world as a single egg to be fertilized by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here is the beginning of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, Isaiah boldly says, rend the heavens and come down. And God does it in only the way that God can. Even the announcement after the birth of Jesus Christ wasn't sending out text messages and emails. It's not on the evening news. It's a group of angels filling the skies and singing to a bunch of lowly shepherds that there's peace on earth because in the city of David, the Savior has been born. God has rent the heavens. He has come down to dwell among his people. It is amazing. Jesus yields up his spirit. There Jesus Christ is wrapped in the womb of the Virgin Mary as God and man. There Jesus in the Jordan River, standing in the muck of man's sin. The heavens are rended open and the Father says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ And all the way to Bethany, where he got on that colt and was he rode it into the city of Jerusalem, where he had suffered and died upon a cross of Calvary. His human flesh would be pierced for your sin and mine. Jesus Christ held nothing back. He poured it all out upon the cross for you, and he rends his spirit. And he rends the temple curtain from top to bottom to show that the avenue of being face to face with the Father has now been opened through the blood of Jesus Christ. The incarnation is what makes it all possible. The incarnation is why we're here. It empowers the resurrection, both Christ and ours. The incarnation powers the ever-present coming of Jesus Christ and his word and sacraments. The incarnation empowers the future coming of Jesus Christ on that day when he'll raise our decaying bodies and make them like his glorious body, that we might enter into eternal life with him. So therefore, Isaiah is not arrogant, he's not insane, he's not self-deceptive or even dangerous. He is confident because what God had done, wrapping Jesus Christ, incarnating him as the God-man to suffer and die for you and me. That's what Advent is all about. So with that said, I just want to wish you a very happy Advent season as we look for Christ all around us. As he comes to us in his flesh and blood to forgive us and renew us and make us righteous in God's sight. Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord.